Kia ora koutou and welcome to another exciting episode of Kick Arts, Auckland's comprehensive art show, brought to you every Sunday night here at Planet FM 104.6 or live stream planetaudio.org.nz. And you can listen to us after the show, 5 minutes after we go off air. You can get us at planetaudio.org.nz/kickarts, or you can go to www.kickarts.org.nz and listen to all our episodes going back 5 years. Yes, 5 years we've been here. Oh my God, it's been a long time. 5 years. I was 5 years younger when I started this, and now I'm 5 years older. That's kind of how it rolls. I'm here without a co-host, flying solo this evening. My co-pilot, Georgia, is off doing something really exciting to do with something down at the Wynyard Quarter and stuff. Music or something, I don't know. I do pay attention. I do pay attention when she summons me. But good luck. Hope you're having a good time. She's probably listening to the show live on her phone. Probably not, actually. So who's in the studio this evening? Well, we've got a bit of a dance focus this evening. In the studio with me, I've got Carl and Chrissy from the New Zealand Dance Company. Kia ora.
Hello.
And you're here because you're involved with the Pick and Mix.
Yes, we are.
Which
yes,
is
are.
A free program with Auckland Live, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, it is.
Absolutely, yeah.
Giving young people the chance to pick a few things and mix them around and experience stuff.
Yeah, totally.
Totally. Yeah. And we'll talk about what that means for you guys with the cool. Tamaki Tour. And also in the studio, we've got Zoe and Emma, who are from Black Sheep Productions, yeah. And your show Old Tricks, New Dogs opens on the 8th of August.
Yes. Yeah.
And you're both dancers as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. At University of Auckland.
Yes. Yeah. I'm an ex-student and Emma's still a student there.
So, right.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. I know. It's funny, eh? Things have changed. You can go to university and just study dance and or music. Or,
yeah.
You know? Yeah. And you used to be able to, when you went to university, you had to do like, engineering or law or medicine. How do you know how long they've been doing a dance degree at the University of Auckland?
I don't know how long the program has been running, actually.
Yeah, quite a long time, I think. Like Ralph came in at 30 years.
Maybe 30 years? That's a long time.
30 years.
That's a long time.
That's a long time.
Yeah, it's a really long time.
Gosh, I wasn't even born when that started then. Stop laughing.
Oh, true.
bad joke.
Yeah, 30 years, gosh. And so the degree, so university in my mind is you sit in a classroom and you get lectured at and you take copious amounts of notes and then you write exams. But obviously with a dance degree that's not the case.
We do quite a lot of sitting and listening and writing notes, but we also get heaps of opportunities to put what we learn into practice, so not just learning but also doing, which is really a good way to learn, obviously. Yeah,
that practical, especially with something like dance.
Yeah So we have lots of technique class and choreography class, but we also learn quite a lot about politics, history, how dance fits into New Zealand society today, and that sort of stuff as well.
So how does dance fit into New Zealand society? That's a big, big question. How does it? How is contemporary dance in Aotearoa New Zealand? Is it?
Personally, I think dance has always been kind of like a time capsule for culture and society. Like if you look back through any period of time, there's a dance which kind of encapsulates what was going on at that time, and contemporary dance in New Zealand is no different to that. So we often tackle like issues that artists face, issues that New Zealanders face, as well as fun stuff that's going on, and we explore that all through dance. So
beautiful,
that's a good answer.
That was great. Awesome. On the other end, on a less serious tone, there is a thing that dance is a beautiful craft with a large focus on the human body, and it's just, it can also be portrayed just beautiful movement, choreography, and also music as well. So there is definitely serious tones to it, but it also can be quite beautiful.
And fun.
Yeah, and fun to watch, yeah.
So the four of you have chosen dance as a career.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm assuming you come out of university to for a dance career, not because you want to be an engineer and you just decide to do some dance or something.
Yeah, definitely the dance career.
Yeah. And so what is it about dance for each of you that drew you to it in the first place?
Oh, yeah.
I'll start. I didn't really choose dance. This is hard to talk with this on.
Yeah.
This is radio, you see. They go, yeah. What is she wearing?
Yeah.
I took off my headphones.
Yeah.
I didn't really choose dance. I just kind of ended up doing it because I didn't pass school and I didn't have anything else to do. I couldn't get into any other unis, and I was lucky in the sense that dance is mostly about your audition, like your practical audition, as opposed to getting the credits you need. And I was, just lucky enough to get through practically in my audition. And then, I guess after a year of doing it, I started to really love it. And then got a opportunity to second with NZDC, and then that's how I ended up in it as a career. Now I absolutely love it and I'm so happy that I didn't pass school and had to go and dance instead.
So, and often people, you know, choices in careers are made through accident. For people in the arts,
yeah, end absolutely,
up not, not choosing to do it, because it's not often something you choose to do, is it? Because it's not, it's a hard life.
I didn't even know you could dance as a career when I was at school. I didn't even know that was an option.
So with the with you not succeeding at school and choosing, how did you choose dance to, with your audition? Did you see it and just go, oh, well, I'll give that a go?
No.
Or have you been doing dance for a while?
No, I hadn't actually. I just took up dance at high school my last year, and a tutor from here, Unitech, Katie Burden, came and did like a week workshop at the school, and she was like, oh, you're quite good, you've got rhythm, you should come and audition. And I literally had never heard of contemporary dance in my life, and came in, my first contemporary experience was at the audition, and I loved it.
What were you planning on doing before you got involved with dance?
I wanted to be a police officer.
Yeah.
I still kind of do sometimes, but no, dance is what I what I really want to do. But I didn't have enough credits to get into it.
You have to have credits to be a police officer.
Yeah, you do.
Wow. You think they'll be screaming out for people?
Actually. Yeah.
Not saying that, you know, you don't need a certain level of you're my police officer friends who are listening, I apologise. Yeah. You know what I mean? I'm just curious about that pathway, actually. What is it about the police force that interested you or interests you?
Oh, this is going to sound so silly, but my favourite movie was SWAT, and I just thought it was awesome. And, like, I just thought the adrenaline rush you must get on the job must be amazing. And I also love, like, the physicality of it and being, like, I know I'm totally, like, if there are any cops listening, they're like, that is not what it's about. But the whole adrenaline rush.
Not all of them look like Colin Farrell, unfortunately.
No.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. In fact, none I've ever heard. So there's a parallel there, though, isn't there? Because adrenaline and physicality is something that dance would give you, wouldn't it?
Totally. And that's that's my like biggest love of the art, is that I get to be physical every day. And I love that about the job.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
You get paid to go to work and be
fit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good feeling. You get paid to do that.
All that dopamine,
Dopamine.
Is it dopamine? Yeah, it is.
Hormone or...
It's that release of dopamine that after strenuous activity.
I love that feeling. Really, I love being like absolutely exhausted.
Yeah,
it's great, isn't it? And often if I don't exercise, my wife will attest to this. If I don't exercise, I get really grumpy. After a couple of days, I'll start going.
I can believe that. Really, yeah, I get like that too.
Yeah, I want to move.
Yeah,
is it an appeal for you? Do you like the physicality of dance?
Yeah, I love being like completely, you know, exhausted, but in a good way. And then you're more energized.
I think
when your back happens, and more creativity comes out of that exploration.
Yeah,
Just feeling that. Yeah. Mm. It's what appeals to me as well, just that energy that's completely different, and it's thrilling to be involved.
Is the university course taxing physically? Do they really push you?
Yeah, they definitely have pushed us physical-wise and pushed us how we move and what that comes out of. Yeah, it's a lot of hours of really pushing yourself, exploring new ways of doing, and they give you more stimuli. Yeah, it's a bit of both, definitely.
And your background in dance, did you just walk in and go, I'm going to do a degree in dance? Or have you got a background in ballet? Or You're all struggling with your headphones tonight, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm just like...
I've kind of just gotten used to it.
Kind of gets
like
a bit numb after, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I started quite late with dancing. I started when I was about 15 or 16, but when I did start, I, like, completely fell in love with it, and I wanted to explore as much as I can and do everything that it, you know, exists within dance, just to give it all a go.
And so what drew you then at 15 or 16? What made you start dance? Was it high school?
Yeah, it was just through high school. We had New Zealand Dance Company members come and teach us, actually, and it was like I had no idea what dance industry was, like nothing. Just fell in love with how they moved, how everyone was like participation, and I just got on board straight away.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and went all the way.
So what were you thinking of doing before that?
Before that, I had no idea. I'm pretty similar to you, actually. Like, I wanted to be a spy. yeah.
That's a great answer.
Yeah.
That's great.
So I wanted to do that. And
tell us more about that. Why did you want to be a spy? And what was it about being a spy that excited you?
It was the secrecy and, like, actually just doing something so thrilling and just behind the scenes and, like, helping people through that medium. I just loved it. I went to, like, a careers expo. And I went up to the police force and I was like, how, this like little girl just coming in, how do I become a spy? Like, is that a career? And they just laughed at me.
Oh, no.
Which is, you know, fair enough because it's probably not the most common question.
From a little girl, I guess.
Yeah, at a career expo. Yeah.
You sound very similar to my 9-year-old daughter who has disguises that she puts on and she'll run around the house and knock on the door and pretend to be someone else.
Oh, yeah. That's so cute.
And she wants to be, she loves spy. She's got her own spy club, which I'm not allowed to be a member of.
Oh, no.
No.
Fingerprint, we gave her a fingerprint kit for Christmas. So I'm just wondering, why is it that, what is this about being a spy or a police officer as a child that's so appealing?
I have no idea. Yep.
I don't know.
That's right. And two people who are involved with dance, like, come to it late, and are both willing to be involved with arresting and spying on people.
It's quite opposite, isn't it?
It is quite amazing.
Yeah.
I heard a saying once, you know, recruiting for the GCSB, the spy agency here, it said, what is it, join the GCSB, travel the world, meet new people and kill them. Oh. Oh, joking. Oh. That was a joke.
Oh. Oh. You wanted to do that, Emma.
Oh, God. Yeah. What
spy
have I got
stuff.
Myself into?
So as a dancer, though, you could be a really good spy because you'd be really agile.
Mm.
So you could run away from people and leap across. Because you see in all the movies, like James Bond, they leap across from building to building.
It's true.
40 stories up and go, yeah, well, I can do that.
That's what me and Chrissy do. We always watch, like, Wipeout or American Ninja.
Yeah.
And we always look at, like, oh, he piked out on the first trip. We would have gone all the way easy.
Are you telling me that you're watching that because you wanted to be a spy as well?
Yeah.
No. I actually wanted to be... I wanted to be a rugby player back in the day.
Okay.
Yeah, a little bit opposite to these two. I got into dance quite early. Well, relatively for guys. I got in at about 11.
Wow.
And alongside that, I was doing rugby. So I was playing Union League and dancing at the same time at an all-boys school. So
jeez.
That was a bit of a weird...
How did that go down? I'm just curious. Is this in New Zealand?
No, it was in Australia. So I grew up in Sydney.
Yeah.
And... yeah, it was a bit of a weird shift to be doing these very manly things at an old boys' school. So very heaps of testosterone and then doing this shifting after school and going to this ballet school with all women. So it felt really out of place in both worlds. So well, when they all blended together, it felt a bit out of place.
How did your mates deal with it? Because, I mean, Australian men aren't the most sort of metrosexual, really, are they?
There isn't. It's like this
quite
hyper-heterosexual community over in Australia. So
chauvinistic.
Yeah. A little bit misogynist, you know. But
a little bit.
A little bit. Yeah. Just a little bit.
Okay.
Maybe possibly racist, but not all of them. No.
A lot racist.
Nah, I can't quote me on that. Sorry.
No, I just said that.
You didn't. Oh, okay. Good.
Australia, a lot racist.
That's your word.
That should be their brochure for their advertising. Yeah. Come to Australia. We're a lot racist. Which is a whole market there.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry.
No, that's
so
right.
Your mates, did they give you a hard time about it? Did many give you, or did they support you, or they did look at you as a bit of an enigma, rugby playing, ballet dancer?
I think I was fortunate, actually, because I was, and this is from my stepdad, he says I was quite talented at both union and league. So I think the guys gave me a pass on that. Obviously, there was a little bit of joking about it, but at first, yeah, they didn't mind it. And also, I got to invite them to all the parties with the girls, so it was a bit of a win-win.
Yeah, yeah. They're going, he gets to hang out with all these dancers.
Yeah, it was quite odd, actually. I was, yeah, at the time, I was like, oh, it was a bit weird, but in hindsight, I was pretty fortunate about it, actually.
So your teenage years,
yeah,
you were dancing?
Yeah, yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
And then at some point, I dropped rugby and I started dancing. I was sort of, I've told the story a few weeks ago, and I was sort of thrusted into the world of dance. And I use that word thrust because
who
I was
says
sort of
thrusted.
Because this I wasn't quite strongly, isn't it?
Yeah,
thrusted.
Well, yeah, it was pretty much that because I was simply asked the question of what would I like to do, and I said, yeah, I'd like to dance. And then things shifted. I moved from out of home and I moved out of to a completely different state, and I started dancing, living by myself. And then they asked me, do I want to do this for a career over in New Zealand? And I said, okay.
Yeah, well, roll back a bit, because is that after school?
No, it was in the middle of school, so I finished my last 2 years in Brisbane.
But you went to a performing arts school, right?
Yeah.
Where you were dancing.
Which was concentrated on ballet, contemporary, and a little bit of study just to pass HSC, which is like...
It's like NCA.
Yeah.
I'm just really curious, going back to when you were 11, what made you look at dance as an option? Did you see a ballet were you aware? Was it in your? Did you have family members doing it? And how supportive were the family?
Well, it was quite odd because I used to pick up my sister from her school and then walk her to her dance class and just sit, do homework, watch these people do ballet. And one day the teacher just asked me, "Would I like to join?" And I hesitantly said yes. So she took everyone out of the class and did a solo audition for me and either took pity on me or saw talent or just wanted more money, not a student. She said yes. And I was one of three guys in the school at 11 doing it. And then
your sister stopped and you kept going.
And my sister stopped. And then somehow...
What does she do now? Is she a police officer?
She's...
Or a spy?
Or a spy. Well, if she told me, she'd probably have to kill me. But, no, she's in media. So she does producing for TV and film. So
a creative family?
Yeah, just me and my sister, actually. Mm. My parents are into IT and very corporate, so...
And what did your parents say when you said, I want to do ballet? I'm just asking this question because it's unusual for boys to want to do ballet at 11.
Yeah, it was...
Were they supportive?
Yeah. Because, my sister and I, we were quite energetic children, so we were in all the sports. Sister did gymnastics, hockey, netball, I did rugby, cricket, tennis, soccer, and dance. So she said that if we can fit it in, yeah, do it. And then one by one, all those other things just dropped off, and I stuck with dance, yeah, through whatever reason.
You made a comment earlier that, you do this manly thing, rugby and union and stuff, and then you went and did ballet. Would you say that ballet is not manly? I mean, you have to be incredibly strong and fit to do ballet. I wouldn't say it's not manly.
No, I know. So I say manly, I do this weird habit thing because...
Suburbs of Sydney.
Yeah, maybe. Sydney.
Yeah, that's
probably Australian.
Yeah, Australian. Yeah,
Australian.
A lot of Australians don't look at dance as a manly or hetero sport, so it's just... force of habit, but no, it's absolutely, it's very physical, and I think the manliest dancers I've ever come across are men in New Zealand, which is phenomenal, because I think when you think of New Zealand men, you think boisterous rugby players, very hetero, but I know a lot of them who are phenomenal movers.
Mm.
Yeah.
You've had a lot of older dancers in here, who are well-established dancers in New Zealand and incredibly fit and strong, and going and watching them lift people and throw them in the air. You've been thrown in the air before?
Yeah, I'm usually always the flyer just because being quite small, it's easy to get thrown up, get the height.
I feel you.
Yeah.
I'm the small one in the company.
Yeah, always the one that, like, want to test things out and play with almost, but... Yeah, but it's good now that a lot of women roles are also lifting men and men can lift women. It's quite definitely balanced in that area. So, yeah, we learn how to do both.
We've had a lot of actors in here, so the Auckland dance scene is quite still dominated by men. Is dance a male-dominated, that producing management area or dancing, or is it equal? Is there a lot of discussion around gender identity? And
not so much currently. I would say maybe like 10 or 15 years ago, it was predominantly female. And in the last in the last 10, 15 years, there's been a huge shift in dance.
There's a lot of boys going through like tertiary institutions now that in dance. I remember even in my class, I think we had 5 guys, and our tutors were like, yeah, I can't believe we have so many boys in the class. And there were like 23 girls, but they were so excited about the 5 guys, because apparently that was a big number of boys to have for a year at uni, which is interesting. Because
how many have you got in your class?
For me, I have 1 boy, which is against like 20 girls, so it's quite unbalanced, but in other year groups they have a lot more, so it's really just depending on that year group who's coming and what are they interested in. But definitely equal respect for both men and women in dance from what I've experienced.
In your years, did you have an equal?
In my year there were 4 men in the class, and probably the same, about 23 women. Definitely at the university a lot of equal treatment of both genders. So
do you ever get thrown in the air?
Sometimes, but as Emma said, we're really encouraged not to just go with the typical, all right, all the males lift the woman, you know. We're really encouraged to break that mold and do things a bit more creatively. So I've done a fair bit of lifting as well as being lifted.
And is that lifting involved with your spy training? I wasn't supposed to say that, was I? Did you want to be a spy or a police officer?
No, I personally wanted to be a physiotherapist, and it's still on the cards, so we'll see. Maybe later in life might change to that path. But
so where did dance come from for you?
For me, I had always danced ever since I was young. And then when I was in year 11, I had this amazing teacher who really changed my perspective and encouraged me to kind of take dance more seriously, just because I'd been told a lot that dance couldn't really be a career, wasn't really likely that I'd ever get anywhere or be able to live or support myself. And this teacher just kind of showed me lots of examples of people who have not become like the most successful person in the country, but just that there was a community of people who were living and working in the arts. Yeah.
And sustaining.
Yeah.
Sustaining your career.
So that's where I kind of started to think about dance more seriously and realise that I may as well actually do what I wanted. Yeah.
Because that's the thing, isn't it? You could just do anything else apart from what you love doing and never have a happy life, I suppose.
Yeah.
Do you find it a struggle? I mean, so you're a bit more advanced in your careers. You've got full-time work, though, haven't you? So you're full-time members of the company.
Yeah.
Chrissy and I are 2 of 4 full-time contemporary dancers at the New Zealand Dance Company.
Wow.
Yeah.
And we're extremely lucky.
Yeah, we're extremely lucky, yeah. So the company's only been established since 2011, and only in the last 4 years they've had full-time employment available to them, and it's been a long, long, hard journey for the company to get to this point. So, and we're still not even there yet, really. I think the goal is a full company of 8 or 9.
Each year they're trying to, like, give another dancer a full-time job, but it all depends on funding and all that fun stuff.
It always does in the arts.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm. Yeah. Mm.
But I wouldn't say it's a struggle.
Struggle in regards to what?
Well, how we were talking about, like, sustaining a life.
Oh, no way.
Healthy lifestyle. No. We're super lucky. Yeah.
If you're not a full-time contractor, well, full-time employee, you would be doing contract work. So, and there isn't a lot. There is, but it's not something that you can sustain like 48 weeks of the whole year. But so our job requires us to look abroad. New Zealand's a bit small, so neighbouring countries like Australia have a lot of opportunity in regards to work, and they have phenomenal choreographers and makers and dancers to go alongside that. So, yeah.
So these coming out, it was your first year out of university?
Yeah, yeah.
So Black Dog?
Black Sheep.
Black Sheep. Old dog, new tricks.
Yes.
Black Sheep. Is that a full-time opportunity?
So Black Sheep Productions is run by Natalie Clark. She's a choreographer, and we're just working with her on this project. It's just project-based, so we're not, dancing for Natalie full-time. Just she's choreographing this show. So for me personally, coming out of uni, I've so far done quite a few projects this year, and this is just one of them.
Yeah. So what have you done this year, your first year out? Has it been busy or hard work to find work or exciting?
Very busy. It's one of the issues that Old Tricks New Dogs actually is tackling is kind of the recent grad, like, hunger to find work and kind of prove that you're going to make it. I think lots of us have had a struggle balancing work that's paid and work that's unpaid, but is hopefully going to lead to more paid work. So, yeah.
I think in the arts there's a lot of people who do things for nothing to start off with just to get their name out there.
Yeah.
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah.
Have you?
Unfortunately.
You've done that?
Oh, of course, yeah. I was really lucky. Yeah.
I got a job straight out, so I haven't had to.
It's almost like you're destined to become a dancer, eh?
I think so.
Yeah. It's like, okay.
The courts didn't want school, me to be a cop.
Yeah. Yeah. School didn't work out. Okay, I'll do dance. Then, okay, oh, I quite like this. Oh, gosh, I've got a job.
Yeah.
Yes. A lot of people wouldn't have that lucky path, would they?
No way.
Yeah.
Jeez, there's a lot of...
No, I don't take it for granted, that's for sure.
But also, it can't just be luck. Obviously, you've got something. You've got a talent that people recognise. Well, otherwise, you wouldn't be... Is she okay? Do you think she's all right? She's all right.
I'd hope so.
Yeah. Yeah.
Chrissy's awesome. Yeah. Chrissy's phenomenally talented. There's this, not European, but a friend of mine said that there are great dancers, great technicians, great movers, but Chrissy, I would define as a maker or an interpreter.
Who said that?
Can't say the name, especially on radio.
Especially on radio.
Because they could be listening.
Because our listener might tell them.
Yeah. And it's like, I actually didn't say that. You really over-dramatized that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
they might say, well, actually what I said was she's all right.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Is it competitive? Is it really competitive? Yes. Is it hard work?
Totally. Definitely.
Like, what? We've been in the industry for a long time. And this... The students graduating, this year, doing their third year at Auckland Uni, Unitec, or the School of Dance, and sometimes I'm like, oh, my God, I'm not going to have a job next year. Like, they're awesome. So,
what do you think about that? So that's a conversation we have with lots of different arts practitioners from different genres. So these schools, universities, turning out how many dancers a year? Maybe 60?
Yeah, I'd say about 60, yeah. 20 from each school.
And there's
maybe.
Not the work, is there, to sustain 20? So what happens? No. You have to have that hunger, I suppose, to get through?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I think a lot of people end up not dancing after, a year of trying. But, yeah, I guess the ones that are, really passionate about it and decide if they don't maybe get into, companies or anything straight away to just start making their own work. I think that's what a lot of people are doing at the moment. Is just trying to make their own stuff and get their own name out there, which is awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Or they really look abroad. They go to Australia, they go to Europe, they email everyone and anyone to get a foot in the room to try to more ideally prove themselves or try to get work that way. Well, anyway, that's a little bit just of my journey in regards to after graduating because that's what a lot of us have to do.
Not everyone wants to be in a dance company, but if you do and you want to stay in New Zealand, that's quite hard because there's only, five companies and only, three of them are consistently making work throughout the whole year.
Mm.
And most companies don't have any more than 7 or 8 dancers. So,
wow.
And with that many people coming out of schools every year, it is super competitive.
So about what about becoming a choreographer and doing your own work? Was that something that interests any of you? Now, eventually, the future?
Back in the day, no.
Yeah,
but
eventually,
now,
yeah. I think most people now is more like freelancing within New Zealand, working with their peers from institutions is mostly common, just with who you know now, who's going to be the future of the dance industry and within the arts. So that's quite a good way to get sustainable living is through freelance. And we're kind of wanting, you know, shift whether that's also defined as success, because there's a lot of different versions of success within dance, and I think both as a company and a freelance, you can definitely achieve both, and it's challenging, but it's definitely doable to survive. Yeah,
I think in saying that, the competition between, like, have you all tuned up in an audition together? Are you all kind of nice, pleasant?
Oh, yeah. I would say the contemporary, like, industry in New Zealand is, like, so friendly.
Yeah, very.
And everyone kind of knows each other.
Yeah.
Because even if you, like, we all know each other.
Yeah.
From, like, we graduated a while ago, but these guys come and do class with us. We go watch everyone's shows, so you just kind of meet everyone. And so you turn up to an audition and you know everyone.
Right.
Yeah. And you're really supportive of whoever gets the role.
Totally.
You know, Yeah, it's definitely an experience, and you can take away anything you want from it and learn more through doing those experiences.
Well, there are some really terrible stories of auditions that I've taken in Australia, and it's literally as soon as you walk into the room, each person is eyeing up. They're doing, like, leg mounts, trying to...
Oh, no. Just trying to scare each other.
The
worst way to
person.
Warm up.
It's just like, why? That's phenomenal. Like,
and you'll just, like, chill out. It's 8 o'clock in the morning and you're going to hurt your hamstring.
Yeah.
Like, you don't need to be lifting your leg that high early in the morning.
It's like that scowl. Poor face. Yeah. But New Zealand, it's super lovely. Yeah.
Super easy.
Yeah, super easy.
Super easy. Better than Australia? Not better than. Different from Australia?
Yeah, different than Australia. In Australia, they're all lovely. I think we've put Australia really down on in a few things tonight.
I think you did that.
Yeah, I did.
And you're the Australian in the room.
Australia's awesome. Australia's awesome. No, it's it's super competitive over there. But it's the same situation. There's there are a lot of students who are graduating with these degrees or diplomas, and auditioning for no jobs,
right?
Because there's nothing really available over there unless you're and also recently the last election they cut federal funding, so there's less opportunity, there are less companies, a little less platforms to really make or be involved in work, which is unfortunate. So it's very hard over there. It's very hard all round, I think.
Well, here's a question for you. There's an election coming up this year. Did you know that?
Yes.
Okay. Of course.
September 23rd.
Yeah, I heard of it.
Some political election. Do you, as artists, look at the political parties and see what they're doing for the arts to inform your decision, or do you not care, or are there other issues that are more important? Or
I personally definitely look at the arts policies, and it's also something that we studied at university. We actually go through the major parties' policies and see and discuss how it affects artists, because it is really important and lots of policies would make a big difference on whether freelance artists and funding and that sort of thing is going to mean that we can live sustainably or not.
So how would that... So if you were in control of... You know, you're an MP, you're the Minister of Arts and Culture and Heritage, and you have been given free range on the budget to support artists in Aotearoa New Zealand, realistically... That's a really hard question to ask. It's just people plan years to do this, but what would you do? What would you do? Election year coming up, it's just important. So what would you do to assist artists to create work, or assist the arts? Not necessarily just artists by themselves, but the arts full stop. Anything spring to mind?
More money.
More funding opportunities.
But what does that look like? Is it funding individuals, or is it providing an artist wage like they do in some European countries, or is it providing more money for companies to sustain?
I think this artist wage that you refer to, that they do have and they implement in Europe, is probably, like, I would say one of the end goals. yeah, it's sort of like a pension for dancers that they have. I'm not too sure exactly how it works, but that is definitely an end goal, and I would love to see over here.
Yeah.
Because it puts the standard up for dance or the arts to something that you obviously cherish, and that that people will invest their lifetime into pursuing and sharing. So yeah, it's pretty much awarding that, which is, I think, something that I'd love to see over here.
Isn't the arts just a hobby, though? I mean, really, do we need to have full-time
Ooh.
Artists? I mean, you know, what do the arts contribute to society?
It really brings people together, creates communities, expresses issues that can't be usually voiced through other mediums very quickly. It moves people and gets them thinking of wider issues and how they can contribute more to society. And I believe funding will give reduced stress for artists to be able to, you know, dance in a comfortable environment and express issues deeper and reach a wider level of audience interaction.
Mm. Goodness gracious me. You should stand for Parliament.
Yes,
I'd vote for you.
Emma for Cultural Minister. Yay.
I was having a conversation with someone the other day, though, about how, like, slowly but surely lots of industries are shutting down because they're finding, like, new ways, like, new things and, like, technology that can do the job better. But we were just saying, like, art's one of the only things that will never be able to happen. Like, because robots aren't creative.
Yeah.
And they don't have creativity like a human does.
Did you see yesterday they shut down, Google shut down an artificial intelligence robot who had invented their own language?
Oh, what?
That
Get
wasn't
out.
English. So they, because they were doing it in English, and they shut it down because, and I saw someone say, this is on Facebook, of course, say, oh, it started already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Skynet. That's us. We're done.
What's Skynet?
Oh, sorry, it's Terminator.
Oh, Terminator.
Terminator. I'm older than you guys, so that might not resonate with you guys so as much. Yeah.
I remember the Terminator. Okay, my dad told me about it.
Your dad told you about it. Yeah.
It invented its own language. Get out.
Yeah.
So the arts, I mean, they're using CGI, you know, a lot of television, films, CGI. Avatar was entirely done as CGI without any real actors.
Mm.
So you see
But
that
we do live... Like live performances.
Yeah.
Out, yeah, we are definitely based on like in the theatre kind of works.
Mm.
And if you're going to go and watch a theatre dance show, you have to watch humans do it. I don't know. I can't see robots in the future. I can't see going to pay and watch.
Well, this comes down to art, doesn't it? Because art is interpretation. So all of you have a choreographer who gives you work. Do you get as a dancer, an answer from all of you on this one, as a dancer, do you get to interpret the choreographer's ideas, or do you just do them, or is there a conversation? How does it work in contemporary dance? Is it a team effort?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah,
it's both.
It's all of the above, pretty much. Depending on the choreographer that you're working with and where they are, where they're from in the world, they all work in their own individual way. Yeah, definitely. Like, for example, our last season called Kiss the Sky that we did at Bruce Mason had three choreographers, all extremely different, and Kim Jae-duk, our first choreographer, who's a Korean born choreographer, he would make everything, absolutely everything. He'll get you to stand in one particular spot and repeat that, and then he'll shift and then make and build and then build on himself and then build onto you. And then some choreographers would task
and not create any of the movement,
create anything, yeah,
just give ideas or
really,
yeah, and they don't create any of the physical movement, but the idea is there, and they give you they have the overall theme of what the work's going to be about, and they have an aesthetic that they like working with, and they just give you tasks and you create all the movement. That's usually how we work
the
in the company.
Yeah,
and
is it quite common?
It is the most common.
As well, yeah.
And
in contemporary especially.
Yeah. And in our last project or last development that we just literally finished on Friday, we were collaborating with a Red Leap company, which is a physical theatre company, and Malia Johnson, another choreographer. And with that, it was extremely collaborative. Mm-hmm. So through conversation, through research, we would devise and make and task ourselves, all of us, on almost like an even plane, which is also something that's available for us as dancers or movers. Mm. So all of the above, pretty much. Mm. Yeah.
And is that something that you're, like, through your work, you experience the same thing?
Yeah, definitely. I think contemporary dance, yeah, we do a lot of tasking. As Chrissy said, you don't really get, it's quite uncommon to just be taught a repertoire and then you perfect and perform it. It's a really collaborative process. And we've had, yeah, a really collaborative time with Black Sheep as well, all been really involved. And as a group of dancers, we've helped shape the work, and the choreographer has just, I guess it's kind of like the director. Yeah, but everyone's ideas are valued and put into the final piece.
So the choreographer is the one that decides whether it works or not and then blends it together, or...?
Yeah. In a way, yeah. They mainly do focus on, like, the structure or the overview of the work, whereas we're more, like, the inside of it view, where we definitely problem solve and work between each other to make it work. And they do kind of have the end result decided, but it's also our voice really matters to them. And most New Zealand choreographers definitely value our voice as well. They contribute that into the work, so it's really nice that it works both collaboratively really well together.
Are there some dancers that are more vocal than others about what they'd like to see in a work? Like, if you're working with a couple of group of...
Yeah.
Definitely,
totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There'll be people who are more shy or more externally shown, but... Yeah. Yeah, it's through writing, communication, how you embody the movement can have a huge say in what the choreographer might view the work. And so it can be both used vocally or silently. They do notice, yeah.
So a choreographer in contemporary dance has more of a global view than of the piece. They have an idea of the theme. This is a question, not a statement. Idea of the theme, and then they charge you with, you call it tasking?
Task
to create that work.
Yeah, quite a lot of the time. They kind of direct us, give clear instruction and, like, stimuli to help us create all the movement. But then they also sometimes, like, a lot of them do, like, may make something on themselves and then see what it looks like on us, on our bodies, and
make something on themselves.
Like, they'll choreograph something in their own body, and then sometimes they'll get us to kind of learn it, I guess, and see what it looks like. And sometimes they might be like, yeah, that's awesome, let's put that in. Or they'll be like, nah, it doesn't work on you guys, and then get us to make our own stuff. Mm.
So it's not like musical theatre where they, you know, you have the routines when you're singing a song.
No. And
no.
Do you like, have you ever been in musicals? Come on, fess up. Ooh. Anyone been in a musical?
Only in high school.
I was in Greece.
You're in Greece?
Yeah, as a dancer.
Do you like musicals?
I love musicals.
Do you?
Yeah, awesome. Yeah. I just saw West Side Story the other week. Oh, it was heart-wrenching.
West Side Story.
Yeah, it was heart-wrenching.
Yeah?
I couldn't do it, but I love watching them.
Yeah.
Oh, God. It's like a guilty pleasure.
Yeah, much too commercial for me, but I do love watching it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hate musicals.
You hate
them. Oh, yeah.
always ask the question here on Quick Arts. So, and speaking of music, we're going to give you a little bit of a break. We're going to play a song. Now, you like 660.
Big fan.
Yeah, they're all right.
So I thought we could play Don't Forget Your Roots.
Sweet.
How's that sound?
Awesome. Sure.
Break. We'll be back after the song with some more with our fantastic guests here on Quick Arts. Don't go away. Well, unless you want to get a cup of tea, then but listen to the music while you're getting your cup of tea. Bye.
forget your family, yeah. Don't forget your roots, my friend, yeah. Oh, yeah. So Johnny was a good man, armed with the power of his homeland. Slaced tight, a ticket in his hand, never to return home again. So he lost what he knows and what all is right for. A broken world and a world of lies, but the days are numbered, relationships suffered. He lost the faith of all those who matter. So don't forget your roots and my friend. Don't forget your family, yeah. Don't forget your roots and my friend. The ones who made you, the ones who brought you here. Don't forget your roots and my friend. Don't forget your family, yeah. Don't forget your roots, my friend, yeah. Oh, so Jesse thought that she was all that. But she was heading on the right track. Left her mates at the gate as she walked away. Oh, never to look back again. So she lost what she knows and what all. Your family, yeah. Don't forget your roots, my friend. The ones who made you, the ones who brought you here. Don't forget your roots, my friend, yeah. Don't forget your family, yeah. Don't forget your roots, my friend, yeah. Oh.
Too busy chatting to realise the song finished. We're supposed to chat on the air, guys, not off the air.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay, so we've worked out the headphone situation.
Yes.
Is that better?
Yeah, it's on.
Can you hear?
Yep. Yeah.
They had the headphones turned down, everybody. That's all right. But they were saying, you were all saying just then, that this is difficult for you because dance is your first language.
Yes.
So
absolutely.
Explain that. Okay, so she's moving and doing stuff and her hands are going.
No, I'm so, just being a nick.
that was kind of, you know.
We're just being silly, but like. That's
she's
like,
an interpreter.
Yeah.
Like on like Dance Moms and stuff. And
oh,
the young
yeah,
dancers are just like the quotes that they say, like
oh,
dance is my first language.
And they, oh, you're being
just,
silly.
Yeah, we're just kind of being silly.
Although.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of truth in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I think, well, we work, 9 to 5, and we generally, when we're tasked, we generally explore the idea with movement, not really vocalizing it or really talking about the idea. Yeah, there's discussion involved, but it...
We figure it out in our body, eh?
Yeah, yeah, like there's a huge focus in translating it onto our bodies.
And each work... or choreographer and whatever aesthetic they're working for does have a very clear movement language.
Mm.
So each work's really different. So the way we figure that out is usually not so much by discussing it, but actually
doing.
Going into our own body and trying to figure that out for ourselves.
Yeah.
So do you listen to a piece of music and does it move you? Oh, that sounds pretty cheesy, doesn't it? You know what I mean? Does it like different music affects your body movement in different ways?
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, I think the challenge is to not always go with the music.
Yeah.
Sometimes as well. Like sometimes it's awesome to go with it, but then it's sometimes more interesting if you can go against the music. And that's actually really hard as dancers, I think, where
like
subjugated.
We're so in tune with it, eh?
Yeah, so we always just move to the music or we quickly figure out the rhythm of it and then dance that way.
Do your friends like you at nightclubs?
Oh, we wax it. We rip it up. Yeah. Shout out to Kong, 1885. Awesome. We love you. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, clubbing with dancers is always a really fun. Yeah. We always end up in some kind of dance circle with like a dance battle going on.
Yeah.
Always. And then like in the movies.
Totally.
Yeah.
Definitely.
If you want to imagine Honey with...
The movie.
Is it
Jessica Alba?
Jessica Alba.
Yeah.
That's what I look like on the dance floor.
I haven't, unfortunately, or possibly fortunately, I haven't seen it.
Oh. So, you know what? Watch it and I'll leave you to...
Do you look at people dancing in a nightclub and judge them?
No way.
Because they're probably judging us as well.
Yeah.
They're too into it, you know.
Yeah.
They're probably going, oh, she got no rhythm.
She's
no
stepping
way.
On all his toes, unfortunately. No way. You can't judge somebody.
Yeah.
You can't judge somebody dancing on a D floor like that, unfortunately. And that's the beauty of dance, is that interpretation of music is just, oh, the way that music drives someone to move. Yeah, for us might be, oh, they're offbeat, but for them it's totally right.
Their own interpretation.
Yeah,
their own interpretation.
How do you remember? So you know, you get these tasks.
Yep.
It's my new term for the evening.
Mm-hmm.
Get these tasks. I'll be able to throw into another interview with dancers later on. So why, who do you task?
They'd be like,
he knows what he's done his research.
Yeah.
He's been on Auntie Google.
Yeah.
So you have these you create the work. And then every night, is it the same, or does it? Are there different nuances? Something might hit you a bit differently in you, or do you have to maintain a consistent performance through a season?
Depends what work it is.
Yeah, it
really
depends.
So, like in our first piece for our last show, Kiss the Sky, that Carl was talking about with Jay Duke, he was so particular about everything, and it was totally just rehearse and perfect. And so every night you were striving to do it exactly the same every night and be as good as you could doing it that way. But then we also had our last work, which had sections that were improvised. So every night it would be different, and you knew the aesthetic, you knew the task that you were given, and you could do it however you wanted. So each night it was completely different.
And we also, with that last work, we also reacted off each other. So live theatre is ideally almost spontaneous, reacting, giving provocation, and just back and forth of that. It's almost like a conversation, which is really beautiful. It's like a bit of a rush. It's like, it's alive.
Do you guys like, you know, morning tea time, go into the tea rooms and make up tea and talk and dance?
Oh, no.
No, we just fight over the coffee.
Yeah.
Good coffee,
actually, we're like full-time dancers, part-time sloths. If we're not dancing, we're just like...
Well, it must be tiring dancing all the time. Is it tiring? So you're still at university?
Yeah, I'm in my third year, final.
So you're doing this work. Are you rehearsing during the day? Is it part of your
study? Part of Black Sheep, Old Tricks, New Dogs. I'm rehearsing 2 hours... for 3 days a week, whereas these guys are doing...
We do 5 hours
a day. 5 hours a day.
So Emma just comes in between classes and picks up everything.
Picks up everything quite quickly, but it's definitely like a challenge and quite tiring. You have to make time for yourself, like give more energy back into your body. But it's definitely worthwhile and like something that I do choose to do rather than have to. So it's definitely rewarding.
And you're doing it 5 hours a day?
Yeah, was it 5 hours? We start at, in the morning, 8:45.
6 hours?
Yeah,
nine
six
to
hours.
Two?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not
that's
six.
Five
oh,
hours.
Oh, gosh, my math. See, this is why I dance.
I hear you, sister.
Great.
Do you know, I was directing a show about 3 years ago, and I was just telling somebody that I didn't need maths, and because I dropped maths after year 10. I argued and got rid of maths. I didn't have to sit it. And because I thought it's not going to do my career because I wanted to be an actor then. And a life of poverty. And the thing was, I was just telling this person that I didn't need maths. And then the set designer came up to me and said, "How big do you want this rostra?" And I said, "Well, how much space is it going to take up?" And they said, "Well, can you pace it out?" And so I paced it across, and then I went out loud in my head, went, shit, how do you work out the area of a circle? Within seconds of having this conversation. So maths does pay off. But
absolutely, maths.
Totally. Yeah.
I'm trying to make a bet at the moment, and I laughed. I laughed when I was in high school. I was like, I don't need this. But trying to draw out these plans, you really do need it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing how it comes back to bite you in the ass when you say things like that.
I know.
Did you do mainly art subjects at school?
Yeah, I definitely did. Digital technology, dance, writing.
Writing.
Yeah, was there English.
English.
Yeah, English, but
writing.
More the writing.
I thought there was a specialised writing, like a novel writing group.
Oh, no.
Year 13, novel writing.
Yeah, but definitely all the arts. I found it a lot easier for me to pursue. It was just a lot easier to communicate through that field rather than science and maths and that kind of stuff. Yeah, but I was definitely still interested in social studies and history of learning about the world, and that definitely connects to dance very well. So
I was very different. I loved physics. It was my favourite subject at school. I did dance at school as well, but I loved physics and calculus.
Oh my god.
Whoa.
Yeah, I was really into it.
Physics, I could understand. I mean, because physics and dance are kind of closely related.
Oh, right? Yeah, definitely.
Because you don't want to be hitting any solid objects at speed.
Yeah. Defy gravity a little bit.
But calculus.
Yeah.
What is it about calculus?
It just makes sense. I love all the rules, all the instructions and formulas.
Are you a rule follower?
Definitely.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Is that life in general?
Yeah. I really challenge myself to break the rules and just even just relax about the rules sometimes. But it's also an advantage in the studio as well. I often, if I'm in the choreographer's position, I like to set up rules and make things using rules and structures. So, yeah, it's helpful sometimes, but...
But you, Chrissy, you don't strike me as a rule follower. just
I don't.
Although, is it that police career, was that because you like rules?
Oh, I don't know. Can I ask
you seriously, what was it about school that didn't work for you? Was it the rules?
I think I loved school until my final year. I don't know, I think I just made some poor decisions with people that I was hanging out with.
Right.
Like, that's all I can really blame it on, because I had great teachers and a wicked school. I had all the things there that I could totally pass if I wanted to, but I just started not turning up to class, and I didn't want to be there, and I just felt like school wasn't for me and all that kind of thing, until I got to the final exams and realised that I really should have been turning up to class, and I just wasn't. No, I wasn't a very good student, I think,
A lot of people that have come through the studio in the last 5 years who are successful in the arts weren't very good at school. They found it quite challenging because of the rules. Do you think that's common? You all seem to be, apart from Chrissy, you all seem to be fairly, you know, did well at school. Did you enjoy school?
I wasn't very good.
No?
I started off well, but... I definitely didn't end well, no. But I think this, we're talking about rules and from school, and there's something about art or dance, there's something unhinged about it.
Unhinged,
yeah. Liberating, that there's no rules really in it. There's a space, and you can, with your imagination or drive or passion, you can really just make it alive with whatever you want. And yeah, there are structures and rules in it to create, but necessarily you have nothing but everything in that space to make. So maybe there's a correlation in it. Failing at school makes good dancers, maybe.
Makes a damn good radio interview. So do you find the lack of rules around dance challenging for you?
No, I really enjoy it because it challenges me. I understand about the open space with nothing but full of potential. So, no, the lack of rules doesn't bother me in that situation. just one of those funny things.
Emma, do you find that that idea of that freedom appealing in dance?
Yeah, definitely. I think that's
unhinged. I think was the word.
Yeah, unhinged. Definitely.
Sounds like someone who's kind of gone postal or something.
Yeah, on the spectrum.
He always has really interesting words.
Yeah.
I feel like lots of people always repeat words that you say because we're like...
Yeah, I think thrust was a really bad word.
Thrust is it's a great word if you say it right.
Yeah.
Depends on the context. Yeah. So we are a family show, of course. Going back to musicals, just speaking of thrusting, one of my favourite musicals, because I like rock operas, the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Awesome.
The Time Warp.
A bit of
thrusting in there,
awesome.
Right?
Yeah.
The classic movie was actually one of my favourites.
Have you seen the one with the remake of that one, of Rocky Horror Picture Show?
Oh,
no. Yes.
With, now what's her name? She's the she's in Orange is the New Black. Transgender.
Amber Rose. Not Amber Rose.
She plays the hairdresser. But she played the part of Frankenfurter. It was quite interesting. Very different interpretation.
I want to see it.
Yeah, I'll check it out.
Doing things like that appeal to you? Doing kind of
musicals?
Well, that's kind of a bit different from a musical, isn't it? That's a bit kind of, or choreographing something like that, or branching out to survive. Would you do a musical if you got offered a part? If it was work?
It'd be a hard decision. Because I have friends that are travelling with, like, Lion King and met some of these other guys that were just doing West Side Story. And the money is really good. Mm. So they get paid amazing and they get to travel the world doing it. So I definitely see the positives. But doing this... The guys I was speaking with had been doing the show for 15 months. Oh, the God. Same show. They had one day off a week and they do the same show, and twice a week they do it twice a day, and they're the same person in that show.
Is that when it becomes a job?
I think so, because they all said we're only doing it now for the money. Like, it was fun at first, but now they just get paid so well, so they keep doing it. But
could you save that money and finance a work of your own when you're finished?
Would that be something that would
appeal?
I think I've turned more abstract, to be honest, rather than like the commercial side of it. But if I got offered, I mean, as a freelancer, I definitely would take it. If I didn't have like a sustainable, comfortable environment to work in, then definitely, but wouldn't be my goal, passion, end goal. Yeah.
What is your end goal?
I would like to pursue professional dancing and keep on dancing as much as I can. Yeah, in a sustainable environment that can help with other things, yeah.
What does that mean? Sustainable environment that helps with other things. So you want to take a message around with your dancing? Is that important to you? That there's something in your work?
Yeah, definitely. I think just living a comfortable life, not having to work normal jobs, as other people would say, to sustain your art, rather than an environment that pays you to turn up and be creative, is my end goal. Yeah.
Do you think that's like, I know with actors, they have to do, sometimes they direct, they write, they produce, they, is that the same with dancers? Is there going to be a stage where you have to go, I need to choreograph a work, or I need to create something? If I'm going to keep going, I might have to produce something, or I've got a job teaching dance maybe 3 days a week.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Maybe, but
maybe not like the obligation part side of it. I think some dancers, with a natural flow of just like the timeline of our bodies, they do sort of like fold into choreography, producing. They might even span to film as well. But I think the creating side of it is something that drives people when our bodies get older, those limitations arrive, so we sort of like water through cracks, just try to feed into something else, or something that like tangent through into something to continue that creative output. Yeah
But I definitely think some people are more interested in choreography than
totally. Oh yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Also I think it's like maybe a different question than what you're asking, Richard, like we definitely are interested in both choreography and performance, but then we also have this saying that you often, as a freelancer, will have to wear different hats. So you will have to sometimes go and teach little kids three afternoons a week to be able to make money to do that project that's not really paying so well, but it's going to lead on to the next job that will pay you more. And then also on Saturdays, you work at a cafe, like, you do have to do lots of different things. And some of them are fun and some of them are just for the money. So
to continue that, I had a choreographer tell us when I was at uni that we're not just dancers, that with how choreographers work with their collaborations with artists who of different disciplines, we're all choreographers because through tasking or conversation, our input actually steps us out of this archaic thing of we're just a dancer. So yeah, that's something. Yeah, so definitely. I feel it's something. There's something interesting in that.
Yeah, totally. Like we were saying before, like they task us a lot of the time. So I guess in a way we are choreographing while we're dancing. Mm. It's come away from the choreographer turning up at the front of the class and teaching you everything and you not really having to think, you just have to watch and copy. It doesn't happen too much anymore. So then I guess from doing that over and over again, like tasking, I mean, and actually creating movement and offering ideas, we are in a sense choreographing. And then I guess that's why quite a lot of dancers end up choreographing later on in the future when, that physically their body maybe isn't as capable as it once was. So then they start, put on the other hat and start choreographing things because they've had so much experience throughout their career. Yeah. It's like a natural kind of thing.
Have you seen the Okureka Dance Company?
Mm-hmm.
And Tane Meti dance?
Yeah.
And I think he's 50.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Yeah.
My God. He's so fit.
Still kicking, still moving.
Yeah. And that's a, there's a dancer who hasn't slowed down.
For sure.
No, he's phenomenal.
Do you want to be working at that age? As a dancer? As a choreographer? Would that be a great thing? Can you imagine 50?
I can't imagine next week.
No, it is. Yeah, it is awesome. There are some people like Michael Parmenter is still teaching us class and still, like, 100% in it.
Yeah.
And like going more hard out than all of us in the company. We're like tired, and he's like, "Keep going." We're like, okay. Yeah. And still making. Yeah, he's choreographing a work on us. We're like in the early stages of a development with him at the moment, so he's still there and creating work. But
I love the language. He's creating work on us. A choreographer will do something on herself and then give it to us on us. It's like you're a canvas almost. You're a thing they put on.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
That's a metaphor we've generally used. I don't know. Have you guys used that?
Do you use that same language?
We are a blank canvas.
No, I haven't. I think across that.
But putting something on you?
Yeah, definitely putting something on us. I think we've just not really used the term canvas because, as we've been saying, we're not blank. Like, we do have a lot to put offer. In as well. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But definitely making work on us and making work on yourself, definitely common things to say.
Yeah.
I've never heard it before.
Yeah, oh, you've not?
Never heard it before. See, that's two things I've learned now. Tasking. And on us. I'm going to make some work on you now. Imagine if you walked into a theatre and said that to a bunch of actors.
Yeah. I'm going to make a work on you.
Okay, I'm going to make a work on you guys. What the... Back away.
Like devised.
Yeah, they call it devising. Yeah, so devising.
It's, like,
it's the same thing.
Yeah.
And a lot of, and it's interesting to hear you talking about what's happening with how the choreographers work, because one of the big things in Auckland Theatre at the moment that I'm striking is there's a lot of devised work where people get together and knock out a piece based on their own experiences. Massive Theatre Company do that.
Yeah.
Red Leap do that.
Yeah.
A lot of shows at the basement, a lot of fledgling groups. We'll devise a piece because it's cheaper and it's more, you've got more creative control.
Yeah. I can see how they'd want to do that.
Yeah.
It'd just be like us always having to be taught a dance, I guess, getting a script all the time.
Yeah, I think I'd dry up.
if we had to constantly do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's why we couldn't do musicals, because I think our creativity would wither.
And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Is that ballet? Is that ballet? Is that what they put the pole?
Yeah, I think so.
Dance mum?
Yeah.
Dance mums. Did any of you have a dance mum? Have to ask the question.
No.
No.
No, really.
My mum would generally turn half an hour late to my show. So she definitely wasn't a dance mum. Yeah.
You're on when?
You're on when?
What text day? Me when you're done.
I didn't understand it.
I thought it was next
week. Understand.
Do you get
what
that?
Did it mean?
Yeah.
So where does that come from? Your parents or friends or people?
Oh, parents. Definitely. And it's just really hard because trying to get them to understand that maybe they should just, like, take their own meaning of what they saw. It's not, like, not always one idea that the audience is supposed to understand. It's like, here's a thing that the choreographer might think represents something, but also the audience can just watch it and see what they see. There's not...
Yeah, it's open to their own interpretation. Yeah. I find that with my family too.
Yeah.
They're like, I didn't get it. I didn't like it because I didn't get it.
It's like, yeah,
I was like, you don't have to get it.
Exactly. My mum loves dance mums, so she's always like, why can't you do a dance like Maddie or someone who does that kind of emotion, use your face?
Oh,
or,
my gosh.
And I'm just like, no, that's not contemporary nowadays. Like, that style, yeah.
Who's Maddie?
Maddie Ziegler.
She's like the famous mum's chick. She's on all of Sia's video clips now.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
You know Sia?
Oh, I know Sia.
Yeah.
Because that young...
Yeah, the young girl that does the crazy dancing with the black short hair.
Oh, do they say, why can't you be like her?
Yeah, she loves the kind of...
Because she was on Dance Mums.
She's on Dance Mums and that kind of go on stage, perform a 3-minute...
She'd probably have more money than us, so...
What do you think about that first... Now, Chandelier, I watched the first time I watched that. I actually saw it on Ellen, and quite accidentally, I wasn't looking for it, and thought she was quite... For a young girl, she was quite an amazing mover.
Oh, she's incredible.
Yeah, she's
I love watching Dance Mums.
It's my guilty pleasure.
And Maddie is... She is. She's a phenomenal dancer. Yeah. And she's really young. Like, how old is she?
She's 15.
Yeah, 15 or something. Yeah.
And she's wrote a book recently, and she's just so open.
You kind of look like her, Emma. Anyone see that?
You.
Oh,
no.
My God, yeah.
She does, right?
Oh, dear. No, it's good. Thank
I can
you.
See it. Look on our Facebook page tomorrow, people, when we have the photo of the incredible guests we've got here.
And we might...
we'll see if Maddie...
If you can put up the comparison photo.
The comparison photo. No, we don't do comparison photos.
Oh, okay.
Somebody said I looked like Robert De Niro the other day. He's now 75. I didn't take it as a compliment. because that... That kind of contemporary, she just lets herself go completely, doesn't she, in those dances? She seems to be totally at ease with herself. Do you have to be comfortable in your own skin to be successful as a dancer, do you think? Or are there two sides to that? Can you be two different... I'm a dancer here, and here I'm just a quiet person who just like wants to watch Dance Mums.
Totally.
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely both.
Be anything you want.
Yeah.
I guess.
What is Dance Mums? See, now I've got to ask the question I wasn't going to. What
Dance
is it?
Mums? You haven't seen it?
No.
It follows the studio called the Abby Lee Dance Studio. Abby Lee's the... She runs the studio.
Right.
Oh, my God. I can't believe
she's actually
on
in jail
radio.
Now for fraud.
Yeah.
But she has this studio and it's like all the like top girls go there and they're all amazing but they have crazy mums.
Yeah.
And their mums just fight all the time. I never really know if
it's... Is it a reality
show? It's a reality TV show. That's why I'm like... Yeah.
That's why I never watch it.
Yeah.
They must be definitely staged.
Yeah,
totally.
Yeah.
Well, all reality television is because what they do is they film for hours and then take out all the really nasty bits and cut it together like it's happening.
Yeah. And that's exactly what the show is like.
Yeah.
But the things they say to their children are pretty shocking sometimes.
Yeah. And they're always like, you're always replaceable and the next person can come in and I'll just use them.
They say that to their children.
Yeah.
So what do these parents have invested, and not just that show, but, I mean, have you experienced friends who've had ballet mums who've...
Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And what... You haven't?
No.
I could imagine that you wouldn't put up with it anyway.
Nope. He's whispering something.
I know he was whispering, but we're on radio, so we can...
I know, I was just like, oh, my gosh, I can't do that. My hand won't stop the sound.
It's hilarious. No, dancers on radio. Yeah. I'm just going to move my arms. And,
It's awful seeing that, actually. Mm. This huge push for ideally someone's misguided attempts to relive their, I don't know, past life or something like that through their children.
Yeah, or their own dreams through their
And just daughters. Seeing all these people crash and burn. Like when I was studying it in Wellington, I saw a lot of that where these young girls who hadn't even hit 18, they were pressured into dance and therefore that was the only alternative for them. It was just to follow this career to the point that they, like, their bodies broke at 17. And then they're just like, what do we do?
Because it's hard on your body, isn't it? Dance is hard on your body. You have to be really fit.
Yeah, well, it's
pretty hard.
It's not very natural what we do to our bodies.
Yeah.
I mean, we try as hard as we can to have, like, good technique so we don't injure ourselves. But at the end of the day, we shouldn't really be doing most of the things that we can force our bodies to do.
Do you get regular, so, you know, sports people get regular physio massages and...
Yeah.
Is that something that's part of your regime?
Yeah.
Definitely. Yep. Definitely self-practice as well, going home at night and actually making the time to massage your body, put deep heat or Voltaren on it and really rest up. It's kind of routine to make sure you can go on the next day and be your full potential.
Yeah, it's not worth it if you don't, to be honest.
Well, that's your job, God, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you get injured, like a top-level sports player or anything, if your body's not going to work the next day, then you're going to be feeling the pain.
It's a scary thought. Much.
Yeah.
Hurt yourself and that's it. You've got to find a new career if it's bad enough.
There's always the police.
There's always the police.
You could become a 111 operator. Hi, Chrissy here. How can I help you? Yeah. Fire service or police?
Wow, you're very good at that.
Yeah, I know. I trained.
Did you?
No.
Wow.
Oh, gosh. Okay, I was like, oh,
radio.
Oh, yeah, okay. It's
just my radio voice.
The low husky
acting is coming in. Yeah.
Oh, I just noticed, actually, I don't know if you knew you were doing this, Zoe, but you were hand dancing in the shadows.
Just the different light.
I was watching you. While Carl was talking, you were actually doing a little hand dance. And no, it was great. It's fantastic. I wish I could have videoed it and put it on the Facebook page tomorrow. So dance is obviously something that somebody said about, I know there was a young guy I know who's always singing, and somebody said he's always got music in his head, right? Do you always have dance in your head?
Yeah, totally.
Quite a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Try not to.
So what does that mean? How does that roll out? Because you can't suddenly just in the middle of a street go...
Oh, yes,
I just did a really cool movement, in case you're wondering what that was.
Well, it's not necessarily that I have, like, dance moves in my head, but I'm always constantly, like, things just in life always trigger things.
Mm. Like, oh, that could be a cool dance.
Yeah, or, whoa, this would be an awesome dance space. Like, just little things like that.
Yeah. I'd love to see that on stage.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Do you watch people and take movement from people and put into your own work?
Oh, yeah.
Totally.
Definitely.
Our workmates are like our biggest inspo.
Yeah.
Inspiration.
Yeah.
That's down with the youth talk, isn't it?
Totally down. Yeah.
Task, inspo, and Anya.
I really should have said working with us, but Anya is quite a common
It's a cool
phrase.
Term. That's a cool term. Now, speaking about working on you, we're coming to the end of the show shortly.
Oh, yeah.
And you need to tell us how they get to see you dance all this stuff, how we can see some work on you.
That's right. That's what we're here for.
That's totally what we're here
for. Well, but it's part of
I like being here to chat.
Listen to your fantastic stories. It's great. So, Emma or Zoe, who's going to be the marketing person for Black Sheep Productions, Old Dog, New Tricks? Who said you can't teach an old dog new tricks?
Yeah, well, you can. I think that's
tell us a little bit about what the premise is for the work, when it's on, and where they can get tickets from.
So, Old Tricks, New Dogs is...
Old Tricks, New Dogs.
Yeah, Old Tricks, New Dogs. Shaking it up.
Shaking it up,
It's definitely a pretty crazy show. It's, like stepping into a different world, I think.
Audience is very interactive in the space. There's no seating.
Yeah, it's so not scary.
No, not scary.
You don't get people up to dance, do you?
No. I mean, there's a bit of audience interactive, but it's real safe.
Only if you want to.
Yeah. You can say
your
no.
Personal choice, yeah.
There's always somebody who wants to get up the way.
Yeah.
Always somebody who wants to show off. Yeah.
But, yeah, we definitely, as dancers, move
in and out of the audience, move the audience around the space as well, so it's pretty fun.
They really get to feel a part of the world, and it's exploring like youth desperation, especially as young artists going into freshly graduates into the world. It can be quite desperate, that environment of getting work. So exploring that and the notions of choreographers and how they may treat dancers in some environments, there's definitely sad undertones, but it's a fun, quirky space for anyone to really come and watch. And it's at the Basement Theatre from the 8th to the 12th of August, and you can get tickets through
Basement website,
or on Facebook when you search Black Sheep Productions.
So that was a really good marketing spiel, Emma. We've had so many people on the show. I say to them, hey, market the show, and they go, it's on next week, and can you look it up on the internet? So that was good. No, I got that. And so standing around, how long is it? So if my grandmother wants to come along, which may be difficult for a few reasons, but if she wants to come along and she's going to have to stand... How long she's going to have to stand for?
It's about 45 minutes, but there's definitely...
there's like, moments of sitting.
Yeah, definitely sitting down parts and standing up parts.
Okay.
And obviously friendly for any elderly people. There's a few chairs, but just not everyone gets a seat.
Like emergency chairs, just in case.
So grandma...
Can definitely
can sit down.
Yeah,
because you want to, I can tell you.
Yeah, definitely.
It's
not
BYO chair.
Unfortunately not.
But there will be a few, so don't worry.
And type of music, and is it contemporary music, and has it been written specially for, or is it?
Yeah, it has actually. It's been composed by Indie Force, so she's made all the music specifically for this show, which is really awesome to have her involved. Yeah, it's actually an all-female creative team. So we've got Indy doing music, Natalie on choreography, and Amanda Tito on lighting. Yeah.
Oh, and Amanda.
And all the dancers are female as well. So
who's dancing in it?
myself, Zoe, Emma. We've got Caitlin Davey, Sarah Collins, Bella Wilson, Alicia Anderson, and Natasha and Brittany Cola.
Yeah,
cool. That's an awesome cast.
Cool jazz.
Oh, and you know Jazz McDonald. Yeah, it's a really cool cast.
So, is it quite a small community?
I studied with almost every name they just said.
Wow.
And they're all really awesome dancers.
So just shout out for your studying with University of Auckland. Where did you study?
Unitech.
Where did you study?
New Zealand School of Dance.
Okay. So three different schools.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. The experience is the same. Do you ever sit down with other dancers and talk about whether experiences are the same?
No. Yeah, we do, but they're not really the
not
same.
Not the same.
Super different.
All three schools are really different.
Yeah.
They're all really awesome.
Different.
Very different.
Definitely.
Do you choose your school based on what it is that you want to get out of it?
Yeah,
I'd say
each school has definitely a strong focus on
something different.
And you sort of pick and choose from what you want to do.
So speaking of picking and choosing, let's do some picking and mixing. Some picking and mixing there going on. Bruce Mason and at the Aotea Centre.
Yeah.
So tell us about that. It's free, isn't it?
It's free.
Yeah, it's very free.
And aimed at the young people?
Just
and your
grandma.
And grandma's.
Grandma, yeah.
If you want to.
It's called, made like a family-friendly show, so it's kind of for all ages.
Yeah.
Tour Tamaki, it's called, eh?
Yeah, Tamaki Tour.
Tamaki Tour. So get things backwards. Old dogs, black chicks, sheep.
Blue cat.
Blue car.
Yeah.
Touring Tamaki.
Yeah. So, it's our Tamaki Tour, which is a collection of short works that we've performed. And a few of those works are with some young / new choreographers, such as Shinji, Tupua Tingafua, and
Ashley Spencer.
There's a mix of cultural influence there, Pacifica, Asian, Pakeha. Is it different? Do you find that different, coming from different cultural backgrounds, affects the way people choreograph or the way they dance or see the world? Does that play out on the dance floor? That's not the right thing, is it, on the stage?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think so.
going back to the comment before about being a blank canvas or not being one, but having your experiences and your knowledge enforce the way you move or interpret tasks, culture is definitely a huge factor in that. Mm. Yeah. Definitely.
That's a whole other show, and we're running out of time.
Yeah.
Tell us when these shows are on.
Oh, sweet.
This weekend. Saturday and Sunday, the 5th and 6th of August.
Yeah.
Like you said, one at Bruce Mason, one at
the Concert Chamber. Yep. And the one at Concert Chamber is at 11:30 a.m. with a workshop following. And the Bruce Mason is...
No, they're both at 10:30.
Oh, they're both at 10:30.
And the workshops are 11:30.
Yeah, and the workshops are at 11:30.
Right. Yeah.
Emma, maybe next time you could...
Thank you.
You could do it for Carl because he didn't seem to manage that.
Oh my God, that was terrible.
Yeah, so, but it's a good show. It's a cool show. Like, we really thought about what works we would put in to make it, like, good for all ages. And so it's, like, 9 different works, some excerpts from our last show, which is quite awesome because we don't usually do that for these kind of shows.
Mm.
But we've chose to this time.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun.
It's amazing, this Pick and Mix thing is free.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, it's really good.
It's a really cool platform for that.
A lot of younger kids go along, don't they, and experience the workshops. And you might inspire some people to go dancing.
I hope so. That's the aim.
That's one of my favourite parts of it, actually.
Yeah.
And the workshops are always really fun. We did it last year and had, like, I would say over 100 people at the workshops, and it's just so much fun.
Yeah.
We have little babies that can't even walk yet, all the way up to grandmas.
Yeah, grandmas, yeah.
And it's just so fun, and everyone has a really good time.
Yeah,
fantastic. Hey, to all of you, thank you so much for coming in on the Sunday night to Kick Arts. It's been an absolute pleasure having you on the show, and a real dance special. Go the dancers, I'm playing a little bit of Fly My Pretties, Live at Bats, Bag of Money, just to finish off the show tonight. Hey, thanks for joining us, listener. It's great you came back tonight. Hey, we'll be back here next week with another fantastic show. Georgia will be joining me next week as well. And we will be here 8 o'clock next Sunday. Remember, it's 8 o'clock, not 8:35 anymore. So if you were tuned in at 8:35, you can always go and listen to the first 35 minutes again by a podcast, because you can download the show 5 minutes after we go off air. And if you like the show, you can keep it, put it into your files. If you didn't like the show, send it to somebody you don't like. There you go. They'll go, oh, what's this? Oh, not Kick Arts again. Yeah, that's what my parents say. So, hey, look, it's been a really good, really good night. Have a really, really good week out there. It's been bloody cold, hasn't it?
It's
freezing.
Like the last 3 nights.
I know.
Bloody cold.
1.3 degrees this morning at 7 o'clock this morning, and where I was, that's according to my phone. And I thought, hang on a minute, what's going on here? Oh, that's right, it's winter.
That's right.
Turn the heater on, it doesn't cut through the cold at all.
And then you're just left with a massive power bill.
Yeah, I know. I will just move house and they'll never find us. Hey, look, stay warm, people. Stay there, stay safe. And if you are involved in the performing arts, the visual arts, or anything out there in Auckland, and you want to come on the show, kickarts1@gmail.com. We don't do event listings or show listings and all that sort of stuff. And if you come on the show, you have to be prepared to talk about yourself. Hey, it wasn't too bad, was it?
That was great.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
How often do you get 90 minutes just to blab on about yourself and your craft?
Right.
Oh, my gosh.
And people have to listen.
I know.
That's my fix of the year.
It went really fast, actually.
It did. Yeah.
Well, hopefully, if you're doing other work yourselves, come back, bring your friends. And I'm going to go now, because I'm going to go home, have a nice cup of tea and get warm and settle in for the evening and watch Coronation Street. No, don't be stupid. Okay. We'll talk to you next week. Go out there this week, people, and kick some arts.